She's like, I will just willy-nilly push the button. Then what will you do? Yeah. All right. So it is so good to have everybody here this morning. I'm so grateful that God has brought you here. We thank the Lord for each and every single one of you that are here, even my sister, who is being distracted by relatives and a grandson. Never mind. So, all right. Anyway, we are very glad that you are here. He is risen. Okay. So you can make sure that you look in the bulletin for some announcements. Next Sunday evening, we have communion service. I would encourage you all to be here. If you have small children, I believe my wife and I are watching the children next week. So, you have them? Oh, all right, Diane. Did you tape this to the podium? It's like, this is the stickiest podium I've ever seen. Anyway, so anyway, make sure you look through the bulletin. There are birthdays in there. You can either send them an email or you can send them a birthday card or something of that. There's also a something else youth ministry event going on July 20th. We also have a work day on July 20th. Next Saturday at 2:30, there's a vow affirmation, reaffirmation for Bill and Tina Millar. 2:30 should only last an hour-ish. There's snacks, snacks afterwards. I don't know why I said they're gentle. I don't know why. I've watched way too much Pride and Prejudice and BBC shows with my daughters to come to that. So anyway, we're so grateful that you're here again. And this week we are actually on part two of what we started 2 weeks ago about a healthy body. And in your bulletin should be an outline. On one side, there are blanks that are already filled in. That's from 2 weeks ago. So for those of you that were giddy and thought that Joe gave you all the answers, no, I did not. So, Jim, you are the person who has to, like, tell me if nothing's happening behind me because I am not going to look behind me. So, why don't we go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God. Reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, the ESV, the English Standard Version. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this early church, Lord, and the example that they set for each other and for the people in Jerusalem at the time and for us. Lord, we thank you for your word that we might gain insight into our heritage and find application for our lives today. Lord, we pray today for the people in California that have endured earthquakes, those who have been injured and for lost life. Lord, just pray that you would be with them, help for the believers there to be able to speak your truth into their lives and to be your hands and feet. And Father, we also pray for those that are traveling. Many are traveling for different reasons, that you would give them safety. For those that are home ill, that you would help them to feel better. Lord, for those who are struggling with all sorts of different struggles, whether they're of the mind or of the pocketbook, Lord, that you would help them to find peace and rest in you. Lord, we give this day to you. I pray that the words that you have given me will be of benefit to us. I pray, Lord, that it would be your Holy Spirit that speaks in power. Lord, I know that you want me to be prepared, but I want to be, as your servant Paul said, without coming in the wisdom of man or cleverness of speech, but to get it right and to speak your word in truth. I just thank you for all you've done for us. I thank you for what you will do for us as you tarry. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right, so as many of you know, this is my first official week as a senior pastor. I suddenly aged 34 years over the course of the week. I actually thought I would be way more at ease this morning because I have brought the messages many times before, but I found myself a little bit terrified and nauseated this morning. And I think it's mostly because the privilege and weight of sharing God's word with his people can be very daunting. I know the pastor talked about us last week about those who are teachers are judged more harshly. But I also think that just God puts extra weight on us because we want to get it right. We do not want to lead people astray in a direction that is not true. So you will notice at the bottom of your bulletin there is my email address. If you ever have any questions about something that I've said, or you just need more clarification or something of that nature, please feel free to email me and I'll get back to you as quickly as I can. So anyway, we want to do a really quick review of what we did 2 weeks ago. This is going to be very quick. If you want details, you can go to pinellasgrace.org and listen to the message from 2 weeks ago, or you can ask me and I'll email you my notes. I'm not sure if that'll provide you clarity or not, but we'll get it. But so the things that we talked about 2 weeks ago, one is that we are the body of Christ. The Christ is the head of the church. The church does not belong to you. The church does not belong to me. The church belongs to God. He is our head. We take our direction from him. The second thing is that a healthy body has a devotion to the word of God. The body of Christ, when it's healthy, in Acts chapter 2, it said they're devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. For us, the apostles are not here. We have the finished written word of God. So we devote ourselves to the word of God. Then we also devote ourselves to fellowship. And we remember that we talked about that fellowship is not just food. Okay, fellowship is us and the things that we share together and the things that we do together. It is not just about food, though, good gracious brethren, we like our food. So, next thing is devotion to Christ and what he has done. I get distracted when I'm studying and end up realizing I was studying what I was studying last 2 weeks ago, then have to come back to this. But it's Spurgeon, who I know that there's somebody in here who likes Spurgeon. You'll be able to figure it out. But Spurgeon did say of the bread and the cup that it is wrong to believe that it is something that is reserved only for an official church service. And we did talk about perhaps sharing the bread and the cup in your home or other places to remind us what Christ has done for us upon the cross and for his burial and his resurrection, his ascension, that we could be continually or often reminded of his broken body, his shed blood for our benefit. And then also for a devotion to prayer, to make sure that we seek the Lord's face in everything that we do, not just in the large things. We remember what Scripture tells us about that he is concerned with the sparrows. He's concerned with the number of hairs on our head, so that we should be living a life of prayer for one another and caring for each other through the sharing of our prayers with God. So that's really quick review of the last two, what we did 2 weeks ago. And so today we're going to start, and we're basically going to focus on Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. 2 weeks ago, we looked at what happens when the body is healthy. This week, we want to look at what is the spiritual impact of a healthy body. And I forgot and brought the one with the blanks not filled in. So hopefully we'll get all the blanks filled in. Otherwise, I may have to borrow notes from some of you. So let's read this in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 through 47 again from the ESV. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Now, sometimes I like to look up WEAST. And WEAST has a translation that's called the WEAST Expanded New Testament. I do like what he says of his translation is that he says, I do not try to limit the number of words that I use, but rather I use as many words as necessary to convey what is in the original language. So I want to read it here from the WEAST or WOOST. I don't know how they pronounce it. It doesn't come with a pronunciation. It says, And daily they continued to remain in the temple, in perfect unanimity, breaking bread at home, partaking of food together in gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having the goodwill of the people. And the Lord kept adding to them daily those who were being saved. So what is the spiritual impact of a healthy body of Christ? First, there are glad and humble hearts. Glad and humble hearts, verse 46. It's kind of interesting because NAS has this gladness and sincerity of heart. New King James has gladness and simplicity of heart. The NRSV, New Revised Standard, has glad and generous hearts. And the New Jerusalem Bible says glad and generous hearts. Now, it's interesting that we have this variety of translations for this word. Now, the word for glad is the state of intense joy and gladness, often implying verbal expression and body movement. I wanted to add in there and appropriate body movement, but that's not what I said. But body movement. To be extremely joyful, have great joy, extreme delight, transcendent gladness. So that's the type of gladness we have. And the word that, for some reason, the ESV translated generous, has the idea of humility associated with the simplicity of life. At its base, it's like a smooth stone without imperfection. I'm not really sure because the word generous to me does not mean the same thing as simple. So either way back when generous meant something different than I thought, or it was not a great translation. But let's take a look at this for just a moment. A spiritual impact. Now here it talks about the fact that they accepted their food or they ate their food with glad and humble hearts. Now in this direct context, it's talking about their food, but I am convinced that it is not the only thing that the early believers accepted with glad and humble hearts. Are we thankful for the things that God has given us? Are we rejoicing in the favor that he has shown us? You know, it's interesting talking to people who live in other countries or have been to other countries. There is something in America that we have for the most part that other countries do not have. And that is access to electricity 24 hours a day. In most countries, they do not have electricity all hours of all day. And oftentimes outside of their main capitals, they may not have any electricity. Now, I did think it was funny. I think it was my sister had put something on Facebook and said, what Floridians are afraid of? And what's the number one thing Floridians are afraid of? The AC breaking, okay? How first world is that, right? We're so afraid of our AC breaking, or the AC in our car breaking, or these things that we think are so important. I'm not saying they're not important, because if my AC breaks, I want it to be fixed. But do we receive the things that God has given us with extreme gladness and joy? I like this idea of verbal expression and body movement. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been to a ball game with someone like Dan or like myself. If our team scores, we usually just go. No, what do you think we do? We jump up. Like, we're excited, we're glad, right? When's the last time you were really spontaneously glad for what God has done for you? Now, I understand it. In the Old Testament, it talks about having so much that you forget God. Let's say that we are extremely blessed. You know, some of us feel that if someone took our cell phone, we'd go into withdrawals. Those of you who are chuckling are probably the ones who are going to be going into withdrawals. Okay, but honestly, did we ever survive in a world without cell phones? Yeah, I mean, for a very long time. What about having to live life without Google or Bing or whatever else search engine is that we have that we look up something? So encyclopedias, yeah. You know, yeah, your parents would say, you've been bad, go read the encyclopedia. I'm like, oh. Now we just go to Google and have it read to us. You know, I was like, oh, sure, Mom, I'll have it read to me, not a problem. But are we really glad about these things that he's given us? And the other thing is, do we have humility, understanding that we do not have these things because we are so worthwhile? I really am so incredibly astonished sometimes at the abundance that we have. If you were to call me up and say, Joe, I'd really like to come to your house this evening for popcorn. And I looked in my cabinet and there wasn't any popcorn. All I would have to do is go on Amazon and have them deliver. I don't even have to leave my house. I'd go on Amazon and have them deliver it in 2 hours and have popcorn. How amazing. Do you ever really think about, honestly, how amazing that is? I remember a story of, Nate Saint's son, when the Aka Indian came over here, and they were just so amazed. They went through a drive-through, and the guy's like, that's so amazing. You talk to a box, you go up, give them a little thing, they give it right back to you, and you get hot prepared food. How amazing is that? Kind of missed the transaction of money there, but just think about how amazing that is. Within probably 20 minutes of this church building, you could get almost any kind of food that you want. Even if it was sushi or Thai, you could get that. I wouldn't get that, but you could if you wanted. Wow. How privileged I am. It just is amazing. And I think these early believers realized that, you know, when we think about what we studied earlier about them sharing with one another, being humbled by the graciousness of those around them to meet their needs. In 2 Corinthians it says, for our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God. And how much that we want, I'm hoping we want, as a body to have glad and humble hearts, to be so incredibly grateful for what God has done for us, but then also to be humbled by what he has done for us. So a healthy body, spiritual impact, and this impact is a impact that's internal to the body of Christ. The next point is God is praised. Now, honestly, I could have filled 1,000 pages of verses in Scripture that talk about praising God. But when a church is rightly devoted to the Word of God, to the fellowship, to what Christ has done for us, and to prayer, it just naturally flows that there is praise. And what I like about this word is it says, to speak of the excellence of a person or of an object. And in a number of languages, this type of praise can only be expressed by direct discourse, which is really just by discussion, by talk, by interaction with each other. It's a genuine and spontaneous praise, not forced or fake. It's that idea of a praise of God that comes from the overflow of a glad and humble heart, the thing that leads from the previous point. And this is something that no one has to tell us to do. It's something that we naturally want to do. I don't know how many of you like music. I absolutely love music. And I will break into song, sometimes much to the chagrin of the people around me. In my car, I've been known to roll the windows down and sing at the top of my voice. It's incredible to look at the faces of people around me just who are amazed at my singing. And you can take that either way you want. Psalm 34, 1 through 3, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. When we are gathered as a body of Christ, is God rightly praised? Now, I understand that we have a lot of things in our life that are extremely difficult. We deal with incredible health issues. We deal with the loss of loved ones. We deal with the loss of unsaved friends who die apart from Christ. We have just the everyday burden of trying to get through the day, you know? But does God eventually get praised? Now, you see, this is something that we do together as a body of Christ, but it also needs to be something that we do individually. We cannot do as a body of Christ something that we do not do ourselves. We are each part of that body. So if there is no praise in your life, maybe you need someone to come alongside you and help you. I'm available. Maybe you need counsel. Maybe you need mentoring. Maybe you need something. But just to be reminded of being grateful. It is sad sometimes that when we do prayer requests, people apologize for having a praise. Like somehow that is a bad thing. People are like, well, I have two prayer requests. And, oh, I'm sorry, I have a praise too. No, like, great, you have a praise. That's wonderful. And if you were to really go down and make a list of all the things that you had to be thankful for, you would be amazed at how long that list would be. But sometimes it just kind of goes out of our mind. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing on the list is you have Jesus Christ. Your eternity is secure forever. Kind of goes with the idea of eternity. Anyway, your eternity is secure. Those are two things that we could spend the rest of our earthly life and the rest of our heavenly life, which we will, praising God. I have an incredibly wonderful wife. She's got a so-so husband. Okay, I would say I married up, but since my wife was like a foot and a half shorter than me, I can't really say that. But saying I married down doesn't sound right. I have five terrific daughters. I have a wonderful brothers and sisters inside the Lord. I've had the privilege of serving him in ministry for 26, 27 years. I have a place to live. There's food in my house I don't want to eat. Do you ever wonder how that happens? Do you ever look in your pantry and you wonder, when are the youth going to do the pantry raid? Because I don't know how this got in my cabinet, but I need to give it to, I don't know why we do that. We should give the good stuff away. But I've often wondered that during hurricanes, like, why do we have food in our pantry that I will not eat? I don't know how it gets there. So, but anyway, but we have so much to be thankful for. I would ask you this afternoon to go home and just make a list of things that you can praise God for, things that you can be grateful for. And listen, even in the midst of our pains and our sufferings, there is room for praise. So, God is praised. The next thing is that people take notice. People take notice. When we read here in the verse of Acts 46 and 47, it says there that they, partaking of food together in gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, and having the goodwill of the people. Some translations have having the goodwill of all the people. Now, how is it that people take notice? Because we, as believers, look so different than everyone else around them. Now, this is kind of long, but I want to take a moment to read this. I don't know if this will work exactly right. Oh, look at that. You know, technology is an absolutely wonderful thing until it doesn't work. But I want to read this because it's kind of long, but I wanted you to also be able to read it through with me. This is the apology of Aristides. I can't say it, sorry. Done in about the second century for, I have to look at this to see, Hadrian, for the Emperor Hadrian. He was recognized as probably the second apologist. Now, was he apologizing for Christians? Now, what does apologist mean in this sense? Defense or reason. So, but this is written in the second century. It says, now the Christians, O king, by going about and seeking, have found the truth, for they know and trust in God, the maker of heaven and earth, who has no fellow. From him they receive those commandments which they have engraved on their minds, and which they observe in the hope and expectation of the world to come. For this reason, they do not commit adultery or immorality. They do not bear false witness or embezzle, nor do they covet what is not theirs. They honor father and mother and do good to those who are their neighbors. Whenever they are judges, they judge uprightly. They do not worship idols made in the image of man. Whatever they do not wish that others should do to them, they in turn do not do. And they do not eat the foods sacrificed to idols. Those who oppress them, they exhort and make them their friends. They do good to their enemies. Their wives, O king, are pure as virgins, and their daughters are modest. Their men abstain from all unlawful sexual contact and from impurity, and the hope of recompense that is to come in another world. As for their bondmen and bondwomen and their children, if there are any, they persuade them to become Christians. And when they have done so, they call them brethren without distinction. They refuse to worship strange gods, and they go their way in all humility and cheerfulness. Falsehood is not found among them. They love one another. The widow's needs are not ignored, and they rescue the orphan from the person who does him violence. He who has gives to him who has not, ungrudgingly and without boasting. When the Christians find a stranger, they bring him to their homes and rejoice over him as a true brother. They do not call brother those who are bound by blood ties alone, but those who are brethren after the Spirit and in God. When one of their poor passes away from the world, each provides for his burial according to his ability. If they hear of any of their number who are imprisoned or oppressed for the name of the Messiah, they all provide for his needs, and if it is possible to redeem him, they set him free. If they find poverty in their midst and they do not have spare food, they fast 2 or 3 days in order that the needy might be supplied with the necessities. They observe scrupulously the commandments of their Messiah, living honestly and soberly as the Lord their God ordered. Every morning and every hour they praise and thank God for his goodness to them, and for their food and drink they offer thanksgiving. If any righteous person of their number passes away from the world, they rejoice and thank God, and escort his body as if he were setting out from one place to another nearby. When a child is born to one of them, they praise God. If it dies in infancy, they thank God the more as for one who has passed through the world without sin. But if one of them dies in his iniquity or in his sins, they grieve bitterly and sorrow as over one who is about to meet his doom. Such, O King, is the commandment given to the Christians, and such is their conduct. How wonderful that would be if they would write that about me, if they would write that about us as a body of Christ. Is it any wonder that people who live like that are noticed by those around them? You know, I have some West Virginia relatives that belong to the Old Order Church, which, long story short, they don't have musical instruments. They have 3 pastors on Sunday that all preach. Think about that. But most people, probably even some of us, would see them as a bit odd. But one thing that is very true of them is that they are respected by the community. As often said, if you want work done right, hire one of these people. They're honest, they have integrity, and they'll do the job right, and they'll do right by you. And people take notice of that. In Acts chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, it says, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now understand, in this early church setting, they were still going to the temple in order to worship. This break between the Pharisees and the apostles had not yet happened. And so people are going to take notice, and sometimes they will be very happy, and they'll commend you, though they may not join you, such as in Acts chapter 5, where they were not going to join them, but they held them in esteem. But then as time went on and the break came and the Pharisees said that people needed to curse Jesus, there was this break and then there was persecution. So we need to realize that, yes, people will take notice. Some may come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Some may think you are odd, but respect you. Others will persecute you for your stand for Christ. But the scripture tells us how wonderful to be persecuted for doing what is right. My prayer for my life is that when I live my Christian life, that the people around me would take notice such as this. That they would not be the kind of people who would look at me and go like, oh, that's that Joe guy. I have to move aside. Or as one, I was talking to somebody and was actually listening to a video series, and there were two women who worked together, and one of them finally got the courage up to talk to the other about Jesus and found out they were both saved and both went to the same church. Slightly bigger than ours, okay, so because hopefully, you know, if Wade and I are working together, I will recognize him. But they were excited, but I was thinking, boy, how sad. You know, not everybody's going to like that you're a follower of Christ, but it needs to be out there. It needs to be forward. It needs to not be a thing in the background. So people will take notice. Some will respond well. Some people, maybe not so well. And then another spiritual impact is that we are individually and corporately effective tools in the Lord's hand. It says there in 47 that the Lord added to their number. The Lord added to their number. It wasn't that they added to themselves. It wasn't some program that they were running. It was God who added them. You see, a healthy body is an effective implement in the hands of God for evangelism. Just like an axe needs to be sharp for the, I was going to call him the timber guy, but that's not what you call him. Lumberjack. Okay, I guess he could be the timber guy. For a lumberjack to effectively cut down a tree, it's a lot harder work when it's dull. And we want to be a healthy body because we want to be used by God. We want to be a tool that he can look at and say, this is a good, sharp tool for my uses. So now we have some things that we need to really think through and hopefully process and come to a decision. We need to realize and understand that if the body is not healthy, there is no or limited spiritual impact, both internally and externally. If we take a look at our own bodies, if we are not healthy, we are limited, sometimes greatly, to what we can do. Now, I understand that as we age, our bodies do not have as much vim and vigor as they used to have. But the reality is that if our body is healthy, we can do a whole lot more. But in order for us to be healthy, we need to do the things that we talked about 2 weeks ago. And I'm not going to take the time to go back through them, but we need to make sure that we're doing these things. Listen, you cannot, and just like in my human body, I cannot get healthy by eating Twinkies and laying on the couch. I know some of you are stunned by that. Unlike late night television, there is no pill that substitutes for exercise. Oh, trust me, I wish there were. I'm in cardiac rehab, and they had this whole video about trying to be healthier. And every one of the person that they were interviewing said the hardest part about being healthy is getting started. Then they said they would say oftentimes once they got started, they would feel great at the end of their workout. But boy, that getting out and putting their first foot in front of the other was hard. How many of you have ever gone walking or jogging and like really worked at it? Okay. So I know I actually worked with a lady that, you know, she's like, man, I love to run. I can't wait to get out and go running. And I'm like, you are a sick person. I like to run once I'm done. I haven't run in a while, but it was sometimes hard. You know, I had to like psych myself up. You know, I'd be like, oh, look, it's raining in Texas. I can't go. I mean, it may come here soon. For those of us that have to do it for health reasons, it can be hard to get started. Just like in our spiritual thing, we can say, like, you know, I don't have enough time. I don't have time to spend in the Word of God. I don't really have time to devote to fellowship. I don't have time for this and that. But I always like what Dan says, is we have time for what we want. I mean, honestly, we will say we have no time. But how many of us have watched a 3.5-hour sporting event? How many of us have binged watched something on Netflix, regardless of what it is? And you realize you just burned through 18 seasons of Jeopardy in a week and a half. But then we'll say, like, oh, I don't have time to do my, I don't have time to be with God. Are we glad that our God doesn't necessarily react the way our spouses would if we did that to them? Now, maybe you're that kind of spouse that your spouse would be like, that's fine. Go binge watch. I hope not. If you are, come talk to me. We need to fix that. But if we're not healthy as a body of Christ, we can't expect to have spiritual impact. If there is unrepentant sin among us, we can't be effective. The other thing, if we want to have maximum health, we need to understand and realize that it takes time, effort, perseverance, and faith. After I had my open heart surgery, the doctor said I needed to have a low salt, low fat, low taste. I added the low taste. Diet. Guess what? My wife and I had to make changes. We're going to be inviting some of you over for dinner. It's going to be kind of bland. Sorry. No, we'll give you a salt shaker. Don't worry. But it takes a lot of effort to go out and exercise, to get on a treadmill, to do the hand crank, to do all these different types. It takes a lot of time. And just like in our spiritual walk, it takes time. We need to be willing to make time for it. We need to make sure that we make effort. And we need to make sure that we persevere. You know, Scripture tells us in a lot of different places to not grow weary of doing good, for in due season you will reap the benefit. Don't grow weary in doing good. Be immovable in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord, that your labor is not in vain. And honestly, sometimes we look at this and it is a very long process. Just like, and I mean, I don't know how many of you have done it. It's so frustrating to have been working out for like a month and get on the scale and realize you've gained 2 pounds. And you're like, what happened? Just like that in our spiritual walk, I know so often we want to start now and see the results this afternoon. It is a long race. It is not a marathon. It is an ultra marathon. The other thing is that we need to have faith that God is going to do what only He can do. We do our part, but we let Him do His. We must have faith in our head, who is Jesus Christ. We must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to aid us as we walk this life. This is not self-effort. I kind of attribute it to that, it's a bike I want that's like you pedal, but it like multiplies your energy and you ride even faster. Man, I do not know where that was when I was young. That would have been great. But that's what the Holy Spirit is. But listen, if we don't start, the Holy Spirit isn't always going to drag us. He does sometimes. He'll get our attention. But we need to make sure we're willing to make the effort. So now, the question becomes, really and truthfully, is, are we willing to agree to partner together to do what is necessary to be a healthy body, which plays its part in spiritual impact for His glory? At the bottom of your outline, though, you'll see that there's a yes and a no. And this is not for me. It's not something you have to physically do. But it's something that I would like you to at least mentally do. You see, this is not something that I can accomplish on my own. This is not something that Matt or Bill or Bill, we need three Bills. Three Bills, no. Bill and Bill can do on their own. It's nothing that Ellen can do on her own. We need each other. This isn't about the pastor making this church healthy because he can't do it. We have to be willing to do it together, which means that we all must be willing to sacrifice to some extent. Whether it's giving up a few moments a day to pray for someone else, to send them a card, to reach out to them through social media or some other method just to let them know that you're thinking of them, that you're praying for them, asking how their spiritual life is. You know what? Those of us that get asked that question, we need to be willing to be honest. It's been a tough week. It's been a tough month. It's been a tough year. It's one of the songs I like. It says, I'm coming off a bad 3 days after a bad 3 years. And sometimes our lives can feel like that. We can have the time, man, Lord, if I can just get past Friday. If I can just get past Friday, I'll be okay. And Friday comes and Saturday hits you with another wallop. But we need to do this together. Are we willing to do the hard work? Are we willing to take the time that it takes to have a healthy body? Are we content to be slightly chubby and not overly effective? One thing that's beautiful about the body of Christ is that we cover the gamut. There are some of us that are very young. There are some of us who are not quite as young as the ones that are very young. But we all have something to bring to the table. I'm hoping in a couple weeks to continue along with this body theme. The idea of how we can fit together to be more effective. But are you willing to do it? Will you ask God to give you the strength to do it? Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, I feel so often that I'm not doing my part the way I should. Lord, I so desperately want for this body of Christ to be used by you, not for our name's sake, but for your name's sake, that you would be glorified. We've often asked as elders, Lord, that you would do something among us that the world would know we could never have accomplished on our own. that it could only have been your work. So, Lord, I ask for my own heart, for the hearts of my brother and sisters, that you, Lord, would knit us together, that we would take the long view of this, but that we'd be willing to do the hard work. And Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, Lord, we know that they can't pull with us. Lord, I ask that you would open their hearts and their eyes to see the truth of who you are, that they would bend the knee and accept you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, that we would gladly and joyfully welcome them into the family. Lord, and that we would learn to pull together and to do what you've asked us to do. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.